Radio Prague News. The Social Democrats have filed a constitutional complaint against the law on church restitutions. Police are investigating Sunday's gas explosion in Ferencstadt pod Radhoštěm as a threat to public safety. And MP Roman Pekarek has started serving a five-year sentence for corruption. The Social Democrats have filed a constitutional complaint against the law on church restitutions. The complaint is based on the argument that the scope of the restitution, which amounts to 135 billion crowns, is inflated, and churches are allegedly set to receive more than was confiscated by the communist regime after 1948. Senator Jeroným Tejc, who filed the complaint in his name on Monday, noted that 7 of the 17 churches and religious groupings who were benefactors under the restitution law did not even exist before the fall of communism in 1989. The law's critics also warned that the legislation could open the door to claims for property seized by the state before the communists took power in 1948. The restitution law, approved by Parliament late last year, envisages a transfer of land and property to the tune of 75 billion crowns and compensation money for the rest to the tune of almost 60 billion to be paid by the state over a period of 30 years. Police are investigating Sunday's gas explosion in Ferencstadt pod Radhoštěm as a threat to public safety. The number of victims has risen to 5, 3 of them children between the age of 3 and 8. 11 people were injured in the explosion that completely demolished a block of flats. 2 of the injured remain in critical condition. According to media reports, the accident may have been caused by a man who used gas in cylinders to heat his home after having his heating cut off over unpaid bills. The man did not get on with his neighbours and said repeatedly threatened to kill everyone. MP Roman Pekarek has started serving a five-year sentence for corruption. The Lower House deputy reported to the Hradec Králové jailhouse amidst huge media interest on Monday morning. Mr. Pekarek made it clear he considers the verdict unfair and is refusing to give up his mandate until he has exhausted all legal means of fighting his sentence. He says he plans to petition the Supreme Court to review his case. Pekarek was found guilty of accepting a 1 million crown bribe for selling municipal land to a businessman under price. He is the first deputy to be sentenced to prison during his term in office. The case has led MPs to initiate a bill under which convicted deputies would lose their salary and possibly even be stripped of their mandate in future. Meanwhile, former MP Petr Wolf, who was sentenced to 6 years in jail for financial fraud, is still on the run after failing to report to prison late last year, but he is reportedly paying the penalty set by the court. He was last seen in the vicinity of his home around Christmas, and the police believe he must have fled the Czech Republic. An Interpol arrest warrant has been issued. A court case against 18 right-wing extremists opened in Brno on Monday. Some of the accused are members of neo-Nazi bands such as Devil's Guard, Imperium or Attack. The others assisted in organising at least 14 concerts in the years 2008 and 2009, at which they distributed the band's CDs, leaflets, badges and neo-Nazi memorabilia. If convicted of spreading the Nazi ideology, members of the group would each face up to 8 years in prison. It is one of the biggest court cases against neo-Nazis in the country's modern history. The Prague Steamboat Company is considering filing a criminal complaint in connection with Sunday's accident on the Vltava River. One of the company's steamboats, which is currently used for advertising purposes, came loose from its mooring and was borne downstream, crashing into one of the pillars of Prague's Balatsky Bridge. The company says this could not have been an accident since the boat was anchored and moored by 7 steel ropes. Company head Dušan Sahula says the runaway boat's trajectory suggests someone pushed it away from the embankment. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be mostly overcast with day temperatures between -1 and 3 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Masha Walensky. Coming up in our program, Czech lawmakers move to strip colleagues convicted of crimes of mandates and salaries. Then we will have a rundown of the biggest stories in Czech sports. And in one-on-one, we speak to the Czech-British actress Veronica Hicks. Stay with us to hear all of these stories. Recent scandals involving members of the Czech lower house have prompted a response from their colleagues. Lawmakers are now debating legislation that would strip deputies of their salaries and other benefits if they are sentenced to jail time. The lower house also backed an amendment to the constitution which would strip convicted MPs of their mandates. Jan Richter has the details.
MP Roman Pekárek, formerly of the senior coalition Civic Democrats, is to report to a prison in Hradec Králové on Monday to begin a five-year sentence for bribery and corruption. Mr. Pekárek only became a member of parliament last November when he replaced another Civic Democrat deputy who had stepped down. But he has become the first member of the Czech lower house to be sentenced to prison during his term. Under pressure from his colleagues, Mr. Pekárek eventually left the party, though he refused to give up his seat, meaning he will still receive a salary of some 60,000 crowns every month. His case and those of two other MPs, Vít Bárta and Jaroslav Škárka, who were in the end acquitted of corruption, prompted MPs to come up with new legislation dubbed Lex Pekárek. Civic Democrat Miroslava Němcová is the speaker of the lower house.
We asked Mr. Pekárek to give up his mandate, but to no avail. I thought that one of the reasons he decided to retain his mandate was that his income during this parliament would help him pay the fine he got from the court. It seems absolutely immoral to me that taxpayers' money should be used for something like this.
The bill, tabled by the Civic Democrats, won backing from all parties in the House, with only one deputy, Social Democrat Vítězslav Jandák, voting against. Mr. Jandák argued that an MP can work even behind bars, for instance by providing assistance and advice to his constituents. Indeed, the fact that MP David Rád has been held in custody since last May has not prevented him from authoring six bills he has sent to the lower house. But lower house speaker Miroslava Němcová came up with another piece of legislation that goes even further. She proposed an amendment to the Czech constitution that would strip lawmakers convicted and sentenced to prison of their mandate. This legislation has also been added to the house's agenda, although some lawmakers and constitutional experts say that before it is approved, some issues should be clarified. For example, it should specify the types of crime to which it would apply. But Ms. Němcová says the legislative process has only begun and there will be time for a thorough debate over the bill.
This is an objection that has to be taken into account, but the bill has only passed the first reading, which means its final form is yet to be shaped. If there are any major objections from constitutional lawyers, we'll have to accommodate them. But I believe it's only natural that someone who swore to abide by the law and broke it should be unable to participate in the shaping of legislation.
If approved by both chambers of parliament, the legislation stripping convicted MPs of salaries and other benefits could come into force later this year. Meanwhile, the constitutional amendment will most likely not be adopted until the next parliament.
Jan Richter with that report. If you would like to comment on this story or any other, feel free to post your thoughts to the Radio Prague Facebook or Twitter pages. We now turn to the world of sports with Ian Willoughby.
Well, the big story in Czech sports news today is the return of former international soccer star Milan Baroš to the National League and to the club where his career began, Baník Ostrava. Baroš, who is 31, was the top scorer at Euro 2004, has the second highest goal tally in the history of the Czech international side, and won a Champions League medal with Liverpool. However, after becoming the Turkish League's top scorer in his first season at Galatasaray, he fell from favour and for some time wasn't a member of the club's first team squad. Following protracted talks, the Turkish giant dissolved Barış's contract, leaving him free to rejoin his boyhood club, which he did on Monday morning. Ostrava's captain Martin Lukas welcomes the news.
A personality like him can only bring benefits on all fronts. He's a player who scored nearly 50 goals for the national team. That speaks for itself. He's a Champions League winner, so on the football front, the difference should be visible. His presence should push Banik Ostrava forward a bit, because people have wanted something like this to happen. It will add to the atmosphere, the madness.
Ostrava, only 2 points clear of the relegation zone, are in financial difficulties, and Barış's small salary and bonuses will go towards a youth fund at the club. The madness surrounding a player who will surely be the biggest star in the domestic league is set to begin next Saturday, when Banik welcomed Ceska Budějovice in the first round of the spring half of the season. Now we move on to the domestic ice hockey league, where Trinets forward Martin Ružička has set a new Extraliga regular season points record. His tally rose to 78 when he scored one goal and provided one assist in the club's 2-4 defeat at Zlín on Sunday. That figure put him 1 point ahead of the previous record set by Richard Kral in the 1999-2000 season. Ružička, who's only missed one game for Trinets this term, outlines the secrets of his success.
First, you have to be healthy. Your teammates are also important. It has to go well in the front line. You also have to have the confidence of the coach. And mainly, things have to go well for the team. When you win, then the mood is better. Things go better for everybody and individuals can stand out.
Finally, winter sports and the Biathlon World Championships are being regarded as a great success for the Czech Republic. After more than 200,000 fans visited the resort of Nové Město na Moravě in an 8-day period for the first such competition ever held in the country. The Norwegians dominated the championships, taking 11 medals, while the hosts, not considered a Biathlon power, took one. That was bronze in the mixed relay. That's all the sport for today.
That was Ian Willoughby with the sports news. A friendly reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. And moving on now to our weekly one-on-one program, where we speak to a British Czech actress. Although she was born in Britain and has never lived in the Czech Republic, the actress and broadcaster Veronica Hicks is every bit as Czech as she's English. She speaks Czech without a hint of an accent and gives every impression of being totally at home in Prague, even though it has never been more than her virtual home. Veronica Hicks tells David Vaughan how this came about.
While many of those who fled Czechoslovakia after the communist takeover gradually lost their Czech identity, this was not the case with Veronica Hicks's parents. Despite leaving all they owned in Prague, they somehow managed to keep their Czechness unscathed. Even 60 years later, the family remains remarkably Czech, with the tradition being kept alive by Veronica's Czech-speaking daughter Natasha. When she came into our studio, I asked Veronica Hicks to tell the story.
How did that come about? Well, my parents, both from Prague, actually from Vinohrady, my father Francouzská, my mother Slovenská,
and they just met around the corner from this very building.
Just around the corner, they met in the church of Náměstí Mír, but they left after the elections of 1948. My dad was a pretty good tennis player. He was an international tennis player, and he had an opportunity to go and play in Yugoslavia. He came back and he said, "I think perhaps it's time to leave." They left in 1949 and they travelled around Europe a bit, and they started their journey in Belgium, then went to Paris and lived in Paris for 2 years, which was marvellous apparently. Again, he was playing tennis and he'd met some lovely English tennis players who'd said, "Oh, come to England, it's a bit dull but it's safe." And so they came to dull and safe England, and I was born. But they talk Czech to me. They always spoke Czech to me right from the start.
And so it was a little Czech oasis in the middle of London.
Yes, there were a few friends, people who knew each other from Prague, who'd sort of drifted into England, really.
And you came to Britain also with your grandmother as well, or your grandmother joined you later, didn't she?
My grandmother came in the mid-50s, and she lived with us until she died in 1982. And of course, she helped me a lot with the language, because I spent a lot of time with her.
And it sounds like it must have been quite a schizophrenic kind of childhood. I can imagine growing up with Czech parents and the Czech granny in a Czech household, presumably with dumplings and all the traditional Czech things, but being in the middle of a completely non-Czech world.
Yes, and I still like dumplings. Obviously, I don't eat them because they're far too fattening, but, I mean, all those delicious Czech tastes I absolutely adore. But I don't think I felt schizophrenic particularly. I went to an English school afterwards, and I became this bilingual person who could slot in pretty easily, actually.
And being bilingual has played a role in your life since, hasn't it, really? Because, I mean, you're an actress, you work with your voice, you can move effortlessly in and out of many different accents because of being bilingual. Mm. I think
it helped me enormously. I mean, I speak quite a lot of languages, and I'm sure that it was because I was bilingual from the get-go, as the Americans say.
How many languages do you speak?
I speak six, and I'm learning Mandarin, which, of course, is fearsome, terrifying. It'll take me years, but
what's
I'm
inspired
sure that,
you to do that?
Well, I sort of feel that there's a lot of them, and I want to be able to talk to them when they all turn up on our shores.
And so did you go on when you left school to drama school?
Well, I went to university where I read drama and modern languages, always keeping my options open. I did actually go to a drama school in Paris after I'd finished university, which was bizarre because it was a mime school where you don't speak at all. And I've pretty much spoken for all of my career. So, yes, I found out that I didn't want to be a mime artist at all.
And how did you experience the events of 1968 in Czechoslovakia? Because it must have filtered through in your family that horror of the Soviet invasion and all the hopes that had preceded it.
I think I was in Italy, actually, when it happened on that day in August. But we had been here in the spring because of the Prague Spring, and it was so exciting. I mean, I had been to Prague several times from about the age of 13, but then suddenly in 68 we came, and it was exciting.
And course, you really shared the optimism that Czechs
Well, absolutely,
found.
And because at that time, people who had been locked up and so on, suddenly everyone was talking. You know, you'd talk to someone who was giving you petrol and he would tell you that he was a professor of physics and he was doing this, and everyone was just chatting. Everyone was so alive with hope. And then, yeah, terrible, terrible, I remember that.
And in the years that followed the period of so-called normalisation, were you able to keep up links with Czechoslovakia, or did it get harder and harder?
I think in the 70s it was quite a tough time, actually, and the fact that I spoke Czech was kind of against me. I came as I was a young fledgling actress. I also worked a bit in tourism, and I found myself coming here with a bunch of American tourists, actually, and I thought it was perfectly normal that I would speak Czech to the authorities, you know, to the border guards. And that got me into a lot of trouble. Why do you speak Czech? You know, what, who are you? And all that sort of thing. And they used to go through my address books and things. And I realised that, you know, I was sticking my neck out for no particularly good reason. But I can also understand why it is that, you know, some people who had left years ago were more loath to put their name to the Charter 77. They didn't want trouble. And when you get journalists these days talking about, well, you know, what did they do? They never said a thing. It's only if you've been through things, if you've been frightened, that, you know, you really want a quiet life. You don't want to get involved again.
And you're married to an Englishman.
I'm married to an Englishman.
And you have a daughter.
We have a daughter who speaks Czech.
Which is amazing. So you were born outside Czechoslovakia. Your
yes.
daughter was born outside Czechoslovakia.
Yes.
Now the Czech Republic, and you both speak Czech.
We do. Her Czech is sight-splittingly funny. It's quite fluent. She's just been working here for a year. The grammar, of course, is terrible because it's very complicated grammar, but it's very fluent. And the marvellous thing is she has what I had, which is she comes here and she doesn't feel a stranger.
And how does your husband cope with having all this Czech family?
Ah, very mysterious. I think he understands more than he lets on, but he grunts a lot. He doesn't say a single word in Czech. But if you say, pass the potatoes, for example, you know, making lunch, then he will pass the potatoes without actually admitting that he understands.
And your mother is still alive and well in London. And so your husband also has a Czech mother-in-law, the classic babička.
Yes.
That must be interesting as well.
Yes, except my mother doesn't acknowledge being a babička. My mother is, as she says, I am in denial. I don't talk about old age. And she's fabulous. So she doesn't call herself babička, but we call her babi.
And she's never lost her Czech accent.
And she's never lost her Czech accent. And I always make fun of her. And she says, why are you making fun of me? And I said, because it's charming and lovely. But she's in very good health. And, you know, they've had a good life in England. But here is still important.
And in your career, you've acted in television, film, and also in, I believe your speciality is in audio books.
Yes, I do a lot of audiobooks, which I like doing very much because I moved more and more into sort of broadcast and documentary work. So talking books is a little bit of acting. But of course, it also led to something which I believe is going to start here. I have heard rumours that it will start, which is audio description, which is making TV and film accessible to visually impaired people.
So it's literally describing what
it's describing.
Is going
it's
on.
A sort of voice under, talking about the visual aspects for people who can't see very well.
And that's already, I know, pretty well established in Britain. So is it also gradually catching on here in the Czech Republic?
Well, I was hearing today, in fact, that I believe the legislation is kind of planned. It won't happen without legislation because all these things are sort of extras which cost money. But I know that there are people with the technique and the wherewithal to do it. So that will happen here.
And can you ever foresee moving back to Prague? Or are you quite happy to come here from time to time?
I think that once you've been in more than one place, I think that's what you're like. I mean, I think that, I guess I can't imagine being anywhere 100% all the time. But of course, I know exactly the streets where my grandmother used to go to school. You know, I know all the family history. So it is a part of me without actually being a part of me.
Anyway, we're out of time. So Veronica Hicks or Hicksova? Hicksova?
I did try the Hicksova years ago, but it was just too difficult in England, so Hicks it is.
Thank you very much indeed for talking to us.
Thank you.
That was Veronica Hicks speaking to David Vaughan in October of 2010. And this brings us, unfortunately, to the end of today's program. Just to remind you, we are always happy to read your comments or questions, and you can email them to english@radio.cz. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter, and all of our programs, as always, are available online at radio.cz. From all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us. I'm Masha Walensky, and I hope you tune into our program tomorrow. Goodbye for now. And for our satellite listeners, stay tuned for some music by the band Monkey Business.
Y'all wanna raise the roof? Y'all wanna raise the roof? Mother Mary,
Yes, I did.